We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
There are just so many themes that will bubble up on the feature stage. Everything from influencer marketing to CBD to disruptors to sustainability and cybersecurity. We'll look at retail experiences from live commerce to the tech role of experiences to brand experiences. We've got an incredible array of speakers.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. NRF 2020 Vision, retail's big show, is right around the corner, and we can't wait to see nearly 40,000 retail industry attendees joining us in New York City this January. The show is January 12th through the 14th, and today we're walking you through a quick preview of what you'll see at retail's biggest and best event. For today's episode, I'm joined by my colleague, my friend, and my co-host, Jen Overstreet. Hello, Jen.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
It's an exciting new year, and I'm ready for the big show.
Oh, yeah. The big show. It's a big show. I was actually going to put another word in there, but then we get the R rating. So it's just, it's just a big show. But first, we're going to be chatting about the content you're going to see at the big show with two of the people that help program it, Susan Retta and Eric Olson. Both serve as Vice President of Education Strategies of the National Retail Federation. Welcome, Eric and Susan.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Hey, Bill.
So,
we're back.
Yeah, you are back. And, you know, Susan, you're an old hat at the podcast thing.
We try.
Well, you do a doggone good job because you get a lot of downloads, I'll tell you that. So this is the biggest event for retail, and it has been going on for quite some time. And you guys have been participating in this for a while. Eric, when was your first big show?
It was before I worked at NRF. I worked I was a journalist at the time, and my first one was in 1994. I believe it was still kind of being held at a hotel versus taking over the full Javits.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, the growth has been incredible from the point of first being there to what you see now, the spectacle, the CEOs that present there, and all the retail executive leadership that views it as a great platform, really, to reach out to and express like how well they're doing.
I think that's a great way to put it. It is a spectacle, and it is spectacular. I mean, it's the energy level, all the things that are going on around the show, the people that are attending the show, whether they're there for the first time or the 20th time, they really get something out of it. And that's what I really want to kind of dig into a little bit. Susan, you've been at the big show how many years?
Coming up on 3 decades.
Wow.
Whoa.
And I'm only 25, so this is a story to be told.
Yeah,
I too, like, you know, started when we were situating the show between two hotels, and I was working for a company outside of NRF, but I have just watched this show blossom, and it is incredible to see it from all sides, from having spent years on the expo floor to now being involved in programming content and thinking, oh my God, this is an enormous hurdle.
Well, you know, think about the content side of it. So we've got this giant exhibit hall featuring hundreds of exhibitors.
I think we're over 800 this year.
Over 800 exhibitors that are basically showing what the current state of retail is, but more importantly, what the future of retail is. But we have a lot of content too. So talk to me a little bit about that content that's going on during the show.
Sure. Well, the content this year is wide-ranging. I mean, you know, our theme is 2020 vision. And so we've taken the word vision and kind of parceled it out across so many different themes. So I'll tell you a little bit about what's happening on our feature stages, which are hopefully attracting hundreds of people this year, 500, 700 people to our feature stages. And then I'm going to hand off to Eric and let him tell you a little bit about keynotes and main stage. But there are just so many themes that will bubble up on the feature stage, everything from influencer marketing to CBD to disruptors to sustainability and cybersecurity. We'll look at retail experiences from live commerce to the tech role of experiences to brand experiences. We've got an incredible array of speakers. So some you will recognize, like a Lee Peterson from WD Partners or a Kate Anquetil from GDR, who just draw tremendous crowds. And then we've got some really new folks. Like we have Seth Goldman, who's the executive chair from Beyond Meat. And so we've got that Beyond
They're
Burger.
Everywhere.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, the one of, if not the biggest IPOs this year. So we're expecting a nice draw there. We've got, you know, Marriott and Peloton and Shinola, and it just, it goes on and on. So tremendous excitement from brands that will resonate with the attendees and new brands that they probably haven't heard of. And we hope to spark good excitement there as well.
Is there one? I know it's probably like choosing a favorite child because there's tons of sessions and you, you know, put a lot of work into making sure each one of them is awesome. But if you were making your like must-see list, what would be at the top of it?
My must-see, because I helped plan it, would probably be the Beyond Burger one. Mm-hmm. But I also would not miss the opportunity to see Kate Anketil if I was there. Andrea Bell also. These folks that do trends, because I live in that world of like, what's the consumer going to do next? What's going to happen in retail? When these folks speak, I'm just completely glued.
And Andrea is speaking about the consumer to 2022. But they have some really interesting perspectives about, you know, consumer segmentation and just new kind of generational differences, global differences, depending on kind of where you are in the country, what your preferences are. It's pretty eye-opening, and it's something that you really talk about afterwards when you're kind of networking with your colleagues and whatnot. It's really interesting. So I would definitely concur with that.
So Susan put you on the spot a little bit, Eric. I mean, tell us a little bit more about the content that's going on, some of the speakers that we're going to.
I would say I kind of oversee the overall content for the, you know, our program sessions, but I directly manage the main stage. So I'm pretty well wired in on the main stage, or at least I should be. I'm really excited about our openers. We have this happy accident that happened that, in the words of Bob Ross, I got to work Bob Ross in every once in a while.
Absolutely.
We have this Pacific Northwest takeover for our openers. And beginning on Sunday morning with Satya Nadella, CEO for Microsoft, speaking about kind of the future of technology and kind of where they see kind of that going, particularly in, as it relates to retail. Kevin Johnson on Monday morning is going to open up, the CEO of Starbucks. He took over, obviously, for the iconic Howard Schultz about a year and a half ago and has maintained their profitable growth, big shoes to fill, I would say, sure. Right there. And then for Tuesday morning, we have Eric Nordstrom, and he's going to be coming, and they just came off a great quarter. They're a department store, obviously, and that particular segment has seen some challenges. Very interested to hear and kind of how they can sustain that growth through engaging consumers in new and different ways. So they just opened up a new flagship store in New York as well. So I'm sure you'll talk a little bit about that. So I'm excited about that particular kind of grouping to kick off each day to kind of, energize the audience and take that going forward.
Yeah, it is interesting though, that when you think about it, we've got retailers, we've got, technology through Microsoft, and people, when you think about retail, when you go into a Starbucks, it is a retail operation.
Absolutely.
And I don't know that people view it that way. They think about coffee, but they sell far more than just coffee. And so I think that's going to be incredibly interesting. Eric, I mean, through the years, because you have done this for a while, is there one speaker that really stands out to you that really made an impression on you specifically as it relates to how you view retail and where it is today and where it was going back then?
God, that's a good, there's been so many, So, gosh, if I go back to kind of the early days of Microsoft, mm-hmm. And Steve Ballmer came out, and he had a much different perspective and culturally at Microsoft, but they were just kind of, dipping their toe into retail as this really great opportunity to serve and to help on a technological perspective. And so, at that point, I was not working with NRF, but I was a journalist in retail technology, and I had never really kind of thought of this client server had just started coming out. So everybody was going off of mainframes and it was just like this new distributed computing platform. And they came in, he came in and started to kind of discuss kind of his vision for retail. And I thought, wow, you know, this is kind of a game changer in that it's getting the, and at that point, Microsoft was, you know, they still are, but they were kind of this really big behemoth,
sure,
technologically with Bill Gates at the, you know, kind of starting it up and whatnot. And I just thought that this is something big. Retail is really going to be leading the pack as it is in terms of implementing technology. I'll also say that Jeff Bezos,
yeah,
speaking.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Phenomenal. And the vision that they have in focusing particularly just relentless focus on the customer. Incredible. I mean, you can say all you want about Amazon, but I mean, they have a vision, they stick to it.
Right.
And they have a particular ethos that's, you know, based upon convenience. And like you look at it now, can you do without your Prime, your Prime account? I can't.
Right.
So those would be probably two. And, you know, from the not necessarily kind of brands, but I thought from forethought, I think that they kind of really kind of, to me, changed my perspective on kind of how retail, sure, should be. Because I was skeptical about Amazon, to be frank, when they first came out.
Well, of course. It was an online bookstore, basically.
Yeah.
When it first came out. And it's a little bit more than that now.
Just a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit.
Susan, what about you?
You know, as Eric was talking, I was thinking about it. I also remember that Steve Ballmer presentation because I feel like, did he come off the stage? He was kind of walking in the, which now thinking about planning content, this is like a nightmare. You do not leave the stage.
Yeah, there's no cameras.
But what he was saying was so engaging. I'm also thinking, and I'm so ashamed that I can't think of the gentleman's last name, James from Levi, when he...
Oh, JC, Curly. James Curley.
Okay. I thought his presentation was, you know, drop dead exciting. Yeah. Like this man comes in on the motorcycle. And then just because I have a soft spot in my heart for Chip and Joanna, I just loved Chip and Joanna 2 years
ago. Don't even get me started on that one.
I know you're backstage, yeah.
It was probably one of my most embarrassing moments ever.
Fanboy.
I mean, total.
Yeah.
I was total fanning as well.
I mean,
it's okay.
It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was incredibly exciting. And you think about that. I mean, we've had, you know, former presidents. We've had, you know, UN, you know, ambassadors. But Chip and Joanna, they walked in. It was like, oh my gosh, they're live. They're real. They're here. And I get to meet them.
And they're as you would think, like,
and everybody asked me that question.
Yeah, they're exactly as you would see them on TV.
Are they really that genuine? And it was just, that was the key takeaway. But it was very funny to me that was the question I constantly got was, are they like what they are on TV? I said, there wasn't one iota of difference.
Yes. I think that also kind of plays to like how they're able to expand their business beyond just that show is that they have this kind of authenticity to them that people connect with. And I think there's one thing you can take away as a retailer to kind of work on as a strategy is your authentic voice.
Right.
And how do you connect with your consumers in authentic ways that are serving their needs? And Chip and Joanna Gaines, I mean, wow, hit it out of the park.
Oh, yep. For sure.
Yeah. I have one more question for you guys. You guys put a lot of work into planning the content. You're very thoughtful about it. What's your goal? What do you hope people come away with after spending 3 days at the big show?
You know, I hope they walk out of a session and feel energized by what they've heard and what they've learned. We're standing backstage hoping that people aren't looking down in their lap at their phone because we've just worked with these speakers to try to be sure that what they're presenting has a strong message. And so that is, you know, what I stay awake at night thinking about. I hope that the attendees will walk out of that room feeling good about what they've heard.
What about you, Eric?
Yeah, I would, you know, echo that. We work really hard on themes and what are the kind of the top topics what are the top challenges retailers are facing? You read a lot about a lot of the successes, but what are the challenges? And it's always great when someone comes up there and says, God, I didn't expect this part to be so hard. And this is what we did to rectify it. Next year, we'll see kind of how it's fail fast if you can. And a lot of we encourage our speakers to talk about the challenges. We don't want them to sell out state secrets or anything, like what their competitive advantage is. But if you're helping the industry kind of solve particular challenges that don't necessarily, again, give away your state secrets, share them. You know, why not? Why not kind of be the tide that raises all boats, if you will? So, and we work a lot about on the takeaways from that perspective, you know, just kind of make sure they have three actionable takeaways at least when they're walking out the door. And that's just peppered in all the time.
I think to Susan's point, when you look around, whether it's in a big session or a small session, people really are engaged. And that was one of the first things when you talk about energy. It was the first show that I went to 7 years ago. I was just blown away with the amount of energy and enthusiasm and how jazzed people were about what they were hearing, what they were seeing. It's a lot of fun. So, Jen, if people want to know more about the Big Show, where do they go?
They should go to nrfbigshow.com.
A reminder, the Big Show NRF 2020 Vision in New York City, January 12th through the 14th. You guys have done a great job. Thank you so much for everything you do every day.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
You know, Jen, one of the Big Show's most popular and fastest growing attractions is the Innovation Lab. NRF's Innovation Advisory Committee helps in selecting the emerging companies that are featured in the lab. So we have one of our committee members, Kevin Parakatu. He's the global head of retail from Plug and Play Ventures. He's on the phone with us, and he's going to walk us through what we're going to see there this year. So, Kevin, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
We're very excited. Big Show's a big show, for sure. And, you know, it's amazing to me that when you think back, and it was just a few years ago where we started the Innovation Lab, and it was a small grouping of some really great innovators, thinkers, and what they're going to be doing and what they're introducing as it relates to the future of retail. And that has grown exponentially. So tell us, what is, in your mind, what is the Innovation Lab? What can people expect to see?
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely here at Plug and Play, kind of our core objective is to invest in amazing companies and also, you know, work with large corporations and helping them find new solutions. And I think that plays well with what the Innovation Lab is working on, in that, you know, both parties are seeing a gigantic move in large corporations wanting to work with different startups that can hopefully solve some of their challenges. The way that I see in the Innovation Lab is a showcase of some of the best and brightest companies within the retail space, primarily B2B facing companies that can help solve some of the intricate challenges that retailers and brands are facing today.
And, you know, when I went to the Innovation Lab last year, I was just kind of blown away because it was packed single day.
Yeah.
And the cool thing I thought about it was very easy to kind of walk through, and things were categorized really smartly. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the buckets of solutions that people might be able to see there?
Yeah, so there's a number of kind of different solutions that exist. So in-store analytics is a huge aspect of every Innovation Lab. So companies like Placer, which helps individuals or rather corporations identify different areas of growth or different stores of growth. Digital marketing is also a major factor. How do you better target the user? How do you better create personalized experiences for them? I think there's a new rising category of kind of unorthodox areas of commerce. So companies like Ivy, which enable consumers to learn about new products in rideshare vehicles, is one of the companies that will be there. And finally, I would say kind of interesting use cases of physical retail. So if you think about Happy Returns, which is another company that's presenting there, they're essentially leveraging in-store retail space and enabling anyone to return a product at any store. So kind of a good mix of both digital and physical retail that's to be showcased.
You know, it's kind of exciting too. We have a lot of good content that comes as a result of the Innovation Lab. And so you're putting a bunch of these folks that maybe otherwise would not have had the opportunity to show what they're doing to the thousands of people that are going to be at the Big Show. And I would have to assume that this presents opportunities for them as well as startups and them trying to get their product in front of some of these bigger name retailers.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, last year, you know, we had a variety of executives walk through the Innovation Lab and just directly engage with different companies right there. So you know, it's really kind of democratizing the process of enterprise sales and making it very accessible for entrepreneurs.
Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time. We're really looking forward to seeing you at the Javits Center.
Yeah, thanks for having me, team.
Jen, you know, another big part of the big show is that we have this foundation honors program, and it has really, really, really taken off over the last few years. And to talk to us about that is the person who really kind of came up with the idea, was certainly responsible for making sure it was successful, and that's Ellen Davis, who is president of the National Retail Federation Foundation and senior vice president of the National Retail Federation. So, Ellen, welcome.
Thanks.
Are you really glad? See, you know, it's one of those things that you just, you're careful what you pray for.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had this small event and this, you know, this pretty neat idea, and wow, it's huge. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
So the NRF Foundation Honors is only 6 years old. And I remember the first year that we created it, everyone had zero expectation. Like, we were thinking it would be maybe revenue neutral and nobody would come and we might have 250 people and $250,000 is what we said. And it was hugely successful the first year. And the challenge with that, of course, is that every year when you're making more money than you thought and the room is more packed than you thought and you have all these people contributing to give back to the retail industry, you're like, whoa, how are we going to make it even better next year? So this year, the honors on Sunday night is going to bring about 1,000 retail executives from around the country and quite frankly, around the world together to celebrate the retail industry and all of our opportunities and then give back. We are planning to raise almost $4 million that night, which is now over half the funding that the NRF Foundation has annually. And so it's grown into an incredibly important and high profile evening for us to be able to fund our programming year round. So we're excited about it.
That's amazing to me. I mean, how do you find these people? Well, it's not hard finding leaders in retail. It's not hard finding success stories, but it would be hard kind of winnowing that down just to a few.
We've evolved this event quite a bit in the last 6 years. And this year, for the first time, instead of having 25 honorees on the list of people shaping retail's future, we have 5. And we have one person, the visionary this year, Kohl's CEO, Michelle Goss. And a lot of that has just been, you know, you learn things every year and you continue to improve. We think this slate of honorees, first of all, is amazing because they represent the depth and breadth and diversity of the industry, which is really exciting. But there are also, there are enough of them that you get the depth and breadth, but there aren't so many that you lose all the stories. And there's so many great stories this year to share at the honors about people in retail who have done amazing things, come from amazing places, and continue to do really incredible work to advance the industry. And then there's also a great, you know, a number of great moments in the show where we'll talk about the impact of the foundation, which is largely made possible by the people who will be in the room that night. So we should have some good moments.
And you celebrate the students too as well at the foundation.
That's right. That's part of, as we think about the impact of the foundation, we'll have a couple of different buckets. The first is we're bringing over 1,100 students to New York for the student program, which is also an all-time high. So, you know, nothing like creating your two biggest programs within days of each other. That was probably poor planning on our part. But we'll be recognizing certainly some of the students who were there for the student program, but announcing two big scholarships. One is our Next Generation Scholarship. The other is our Student Challenge finalist team. We're also creating, for the first time this year, a Rise Up Partner of the Year award and recognizing one of our nonprofit partners who's really been advancing the work of Rise Up, our training and credentialing program in their specific market. So that's going to be exciting. And we've got a couple of other things up our sleeve that we'll be announcing that night that hopefully will inspire the retail industry and continue to help them engage with us as we think about where the next generation of retailers come from and how we can all come together to help advance the industry forward.
Why was Snoop there last year?
We've had such great... So we created the Visionary 3 years ago when we recognized Mark Parker. And we said, wouldn't it be cool with somebody like Mark Parker to ask if, you know, they can dig into their toolbox of amazing relationships they have and bring us a celebrity to introduce Mark. So Kobe Bryant came that year. And then the next year we had Doug McMillon and was like, oh my goodness, like now we've set this precedent. And so Shaq came. And then last year we recognized Chip Berg from Levi's.
Right.
And we had Snoop Dogg. So this year, the big speculation is who will Michelle Goss bring as her you know, kind of secret celebrity person to introduce her when she receives this huge recognition. And quite frankly, I think it's been really exciting to see the enthusiasm that people have in recognizing Michelle. She is an incredible leader in the industry and, you know, certainly has paved her own way and paved the way for a lot of other people. But it's also the first time in the history of NRF's gold medal, which is what this award used to be called, that we're recognizing a woman. So
this is the first time.
The first time in 70, 60 or 70 years.
Really?
And that was, you know, certainly not the reason why Michelle was selected, but man, it is really amazing, especially with as many women as are starting to ascend in retail, whether it's, you know, and there's been so many lately, I feel like, whether it's Helena Foulkes or Corey Berry. I mean, there's so many other great women doing amazing things in retail. It's about time that we had a woman up there accepting this incredible award.
What is your favorite part of the night? It's such an exciting, energy-filled room. What's your favorite part?
I know mine.
We usually go out for pizza and beer at like 2 a.m. when it's over. It's so hard to say. I remember the very first, at the time it was called the gala, the very first time we had an event. And, you know, you plan and you plan for months. And it's, you know, there's always this like, is anybody actually going to come? And it's for me every year, it's sitting in that room, which is just packed. And there's this moment of like, everybody is here because of the work that we do. And everybody's here to support the industry. And like, look at what a physical demonstration this is of an industry coming together to lift up the next generation. Like, to me, that's just so powerful. And so there's moments of, you know, surprising the students with their awards and the visionary is a high point with the celebrity. I mean, there's so many, the red carpet, like there's so many great moments. But for me, it's just the volume of the people in the room and the energy that's so hard to replicate. And that's what makes that night so special. And I think that's what makes a lot of the companies come back every year.
You know, I totally agree. And we talk about that a lot with the big show in and of itself, mm-hmm. the attendees there. I mean, you've got this giant Javits Center. When you walk through, you can just feel that energy.
Absolutely.
Now, put them all into a much smaller space and people that are really passionate about what they do and committed to the people that they serve. It is extraordinary. Quick question. People will want to know, because this will be broadcast prior to the event, if they want to know who that celebrity is, where would you send them to find out?
Probably the NRF website on Monday, January 13th.
There you go.
Don't you think?
Yep.
Or the big recap video that we'll be producing for Monday morning. There will be, or Women's Wear Daily, I would think, would be there and would be covering it. So. Yeah.
So
it'll be out there.
Yeah, check it out. Uh-huh. All right, very good. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to the chocolate fountain.
Oh, man. I mean, the Hershey's dessert reception is always amazing. We're having a Reese's martini this year, I've heard,
which
is going to be amazing.
No.
There's just so many special moments of that night that are fun. And that's what we intended to create, which is something that was buzzworthy, where it was like, oh, my gosh, did you see that this year? So
yep. All right.
We'll see what people are talking about on Monday.
Can't wait to bring you back to talk about how it went.
Thanks. I would love that.
Thanks, Ellen.